that nobody have around her, and she will be the voice of Palestinian families, Palestinian colleagues, and Palestinian innocent people that send us all the time messages that they are very sad for her loss, and they are missing her, and they could not be at the memorial because of the war. Vivian will march around and will break the siege. She will do everything, you know, against this war, and she usually have this, I don't know where she bring this power from, to recruit people, and people will follow, and this is her energy, and we
well.
Certainly, the peace movement in Israel-Palestine.
Sama Salami, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We'll link to your piece in 972 magazine. I'm Amy Goodman.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Development and Events Committee meets on the third Monday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
On the next episode of Voices for the Animals, we'll look into the case of a goat, a girl, and the rise of more compassionate and humane alternatives to 4-H agricultural programs. We'll be speaking with Danielle Hanisch, Executive Director of LEAP, Leaders for Ethics, Animals, and the Planet. It's a program that offers students the farm animal care experience and opportunities of 4-H without the selling of those animals for slaughter, which can traumatize many kids.
These kids were, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old, and just realizing, like someone flipped a switch, that, oh my gosh, these animals are no different than my dogs and cats at home. And now I'm knee-deep in this program, and I don't think that there's another option, and I have to betray my friend who I have cared for.
We've got your goat. On the next Voices for the Animals, Friday, November 24th at 10 a.m., right here on 90.7 KBOO FM.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM.
Good morning and welcome to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in the Willamette Valley, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. We are broadcasting live from the studio on this day, the 20th of November, 2023. I am Cecil Prescott, and I will be your host this morning, and I welcome you and thank you all for joining us. Let me remind you of our phone numbers here, 503-231-8187. I am so pleased that as engineer, public affairs person, Ender, is doing that job this morning. And thank you, Ender, for doing it. And we appreciate you. So there is so much that is happening, and as the intro music was playing, I got this text, and so I said, oh, I got to see the text, and then something else came up, a notification came up, and then Ender saying, okay, the music is playing, it's time to start your show, and I said, oh. And I guess I'm saying all of this because my morning started kind of hectic because I left my house and was getting ready to go, waiting for the bus. And then I noticed I did not have my mobile device on me, so I can't be very mobile unless I have my mobile device on me. So I had to go back home and look for it. And it just reminded me how dependent, or maybe overly dependent, we are on these things that are attached to us. So perhaps you are better at it than I am, and perhaps you can remind us what it means to take a, I'm not sure whether vacation, a rest, a Sabbath from not only social media, but all these devices that we are hooked on. What are your thoughts? Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and there are a couple of other things I wanted to talk about this morning and hear your thoughts. First of all, I hope that all of us are able to take a breath. There is so much that is going on in our world that is frightening or upsetting or causes us to be angry, whether it is conflict and wars, violence in all over Palestine, Israel, Sudan, Ukraine, Russia, and it goes on and on and on. Whether it's the crazy elections here in the United States, potential presidential election, and we probably saw a sign of what that might look like with the election of a far-right leader in one of our neighboring important countries in South America. There is so much that upsets. So I am interested in knowing how and what you are doing, either to process all of the things we are encountering, and what words of, maybe if not encouragement, but at least words in which we are able to respond to what's going on. Certainly we need to take care of ourselves, but we also need to take care of one another. So how are we responding to all that is happening in the world today, especially when, and I'll speak for myself, there's a sense of helplessness. What can I do? How can I transform our world? And then, you know, all of this is related to how we are, again, so dependent upon social media and things around us. So all of us might have, many of us might have been, I don't know, surprised, or certainly not surprised by the work that people such as the owner of was formerly known as Twitter X. So Elon Musk, his anti-Semitism and his endorsement of it and the platform he has. And some of the corporations, companies have of dropping advertising on X. Do you use X, or it's formerly known as Twitter? Have you, has your use of it remained the same over the last few months since Mr. Musk has sort of like, just grasped his power and influence on X? Have you continued to use it? Has it remained the same? Has it increased, or has it decreased? What do you do with all the trolls? All the alternatives you are using? Let me know. And speaking of X, yes, this is one of those years, not one of those years, one of the weeks in which so much is happening, maybe in our community and in individuals and family lives, that people gather together to be together, to eat, to celebrate, to enjoy family, friends. And that can be a touchy issue for many families. Considering some of the things I just talked about, how are we approaching this holiday season? What advice do you have? And somewhat, how do you negotiate or navigate the potential landmines you want to avoid in conversations, or maybe you embrace them. What do you think? Those are a few things that are on my mind. I'm interested in hearing some of your thoughts. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. So among those things that we are talking about is the use or the dependence on social media, particularly in terms of X and Twitter. Do you continue to use social media? What are your preferred platforms? Have you continued to use X or Twitter since Elon Musk has revealed himself as the evil genie that apparently he is? Give me some of your thoughts. And then related, I went to a celebration of a friend's birthday yesterday, and it was a great opportunity, but it was also a time in which people could gather and reflect together on the life and legacy of the former First Lady Rosalynn Carter and the impact she has had on not only the United States, but certainly throughout the world, not only, especially in these weeks when we are captured by the violence and the war in Palestine and Israel, and we are reminded of the efforts that her husband made to try to create a peace in Middle East, which led to the ending of conflict between Egypt and Israel. And some of us thought that around 1978, 1979, that it might lead to a resolution. Well, no, 50 years later, it hasn't, but there was hope there. And also for Rosalynn Carter, and especially how they conducted their lives post after the presidency of her husband, Jimmy, in terms of their activism, in terms of human rights in the United States and certainly throughout the world, the Carter Center as a means used to resolve conflicts. And certainly it is meaningful to think and reflect upon Rosalynn Carter and the impact that she has had. As we think this week in terms of the war in Palestine and Israel, as we think of people who are experiencing houselessness and the work that the Carters did in building homes for people. And not to be forgotten, the work that Rosalynn Carter did to lift up the concerns of families and individual dealing with mental health issues. Those are some of the impact that Rosalynn Carter had made, and was interested in your thoughts about that. And finally, maybe joyfully, or maybe not joyfully, in terms of activities around this week and gathering with families, what are your foods that you must have or you must not have? And I will share an article I ran across to that talked about some of the things that you must have and some of the things you must not have around that dinner table with family and friends. Is it a time of gathering and eating food? What are your favorite foods and what do you not want to eat? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Like, explain to me, what is a green bean casserole? Ooh, but many people enjoy that, I suppose. So, As I await your phone calls and your thoughts, give us a call early on, because sometimes at like 5 minutes before the end of the show, we're inundated with calls with people who have great points and they are unable to get them in. So give us a call now and you can have, well, not the whole 50 minutes, but you can have some time to make sure that your valid concerns are elaborated and understood. So, in this Thanksgiving season, in the midst of war and conflict, how are you managing, and there is so much, and related to that in terms of your gatherings with family and friends, how do you negotiate those type of issues that are so divisive, so that your family dinner does not descend to what we almost saw on the Senate floor this past week, when the United States Senator may be suffering from toxic masculinity, dared a Teamster union official to a brawl on the Senate floor. Well, are we there yet? Well, let's hear what some of our wise listeners have to say. So let's go to our first caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Cecil, and the listening audience. My name is Linda Garland, and I live in Salem, and I've been a KBOO supporter for a long, long time. And Thanksgiving dinner can't be complete without my bourbon pecan pie.
Oh, okay. What's so special about your bourbon pecan pie besides the bourbon?
Well, I got it off the internet, and it's a 5 stars out of 5 stars, and it just comes out good. It comes out good. I think it's probably just the same old pecan pie, but I do like to have the bourbon in it. The alcohol bakes off, but it has a nice flavor, added flavor to it. And I roast the pecans ahead of time a little bit, a light roast, before I actually put them in the pie crust.
Oh, okay.
You think that brings up the flavor of the pecans a little more, and, you know, a better, little bit better texture than the more soggy type?
Excellent. Well, this sounds fascinating, and thank you for sharing that. And I'm just wondering, you know, are you able to share that butter, that bourbon pecan pie with some of us who are not around your table? But
well, I think it's going to get consumed by the people that are going to be there. But Cecil, one day I'm going to have to bring you a piece of pie.
Well, thank you so much, Linda. And more importantly, thank you for continuing to support KBOO. And I hope you have a good gathering with your friends and family, those you are with this weekend. Thank you so much, Linda.
Likewise, and take care. Maybe we can leave our cell phones at home that day. What do you think?
Oh, excellent, excellent. Okay, thank you, Linda. And
happy Thanksgiving.
And you have a great one as well. And you are listening to KBOO.FM, More Talk Radio. Linda was just sharing some of her thoughts about Thanksgiving and her not-to-be-missed bourbon pecan pie, and her advice to leave the phones at home, which is, I'm not sure how you're going to do that, because what are people going to do? Because we're glued to our phones. Let's hear what John has to say. John has some wisdom about something we need to hear. Good morning, John.
Oh, hello. It's a political, cultural kind of, you know, theme.
Yes.
Okay, when I was hearing a little biography of Rosalynn Carter and how depressed would always, you know, they wouldn't say First Lady, they would say Mrs. Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, right then there was, you know, there was some agitation. I think that, I don't know, you know, like the press is very conservative, especially if you get in the White House. So I think there was a lot of disappointment that, you know, Carter beat, you know, the Republican candidate. But just to fast forward, I was comparing, you know, the accomplishments, what this lady did, Rosalind, was just, wow. You know, I mean, she was like Eleanor Roosevelt back in the 30s.
Yes.
And you know, how, okay. So just the whole thing is comparing the other previous first ladies before Rosalind, I mean, after Rosalind. And one, compare her to Nancy Reagan. You know, and what I'm talking about, the political culture, I mean, you have these Republican ones, you know, like Ronald Reagan and George H.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their wives were completely different from, you know, their participatory and, you know, in politics and all that was very, I would consider, negative. You know, when Barbara was talking about, you know, Ferraro, which was with Mondale.
Oh, I see.
And she, and, you know, it's, well, it rhymes with rich. You know? you know, it was just their, both Nancy and Babs, Barb, they had that, like, kind of a, almost a Marianne Antoinette view, you know, like, you know, like, their perfume never, you know, stunk and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, let me...
See, I was just comparing... Well, I like Republican first ladies to Democrats. Because, you know, even, you know, Hillary Clinton, she went on a thing with the health care issue in the early 90s, mid-90s, even though she got bombed. But, I mean, she
So let me ask you, John, because I think you raise a significant point in terms of looking at the accomplishment, the works, and the legacies of first ladies. And I think one thing that you said that I think we should acknowledge is that Rosalind Carter certainly was a different type of first lady. She did not go down the traditional route. So it's somewhat hard for us to imagine, and I thank you for reminding us about the wives of former President Ronald Reagan, Nancy Reagan, and Barbara Bush, who took a more traditional view. It's hard to imagine that the advocacy and the pushback that Rosalind Carter got in the 1970s, you know, she was very active advocating for the Equal Rights Amendment. She, at a time when women were thought of should be, you know, making tea, she actually sat in and participated in the cabinet meetings, which was unheard of. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. It's just that it just opened a can of worms, but, you know, I remember Nancy and Barb, you know, and as far as I'm concerned, they were an embarrassment, you know. But that's just my, you know, especially with Nancy, with Mikhail Gorbachev's wife, you know, and she was, whatever. It's just the things I just kind of brought back, you know, the Christmas past.
Okay.
They weren't very nice people. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
But anyway, I'm embellishing. So thanks for letting me vent.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing us your thoughts on Rosalind Carter and for your perspective on terms of the roles of those who serve as the spouses of the presidents. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. This might be considered our edition of Holiday as we remember the legacy of Rosalind Carter, but also reflect on I began by saying there is so much trouble in the world and so many people are struggling with hate and violence and war and poverty and houselessness, and it is so difficult for so many of us to know what to say, what to do, how to respond. Perhaps it's a time for us to pause and to reflect. And maybe that's for those of us in the United States. The next few days this week, it might be an opportunity to pause and to reflect. And as you do that, how do you do that? How do you manage that with your families and friends who are gathered around that table when there are so many differences? What do you do, and how do you respond to those challenges? And as our friend Linda began with this morning, what are your Thanksgiving or whatever you call this weekend foods that you must eat or must not eat? Linda was very generous to offer that one thing she must have around her table is her bourbon pecan pie that she originally got it off of all things. I think she said the internet, but she has since embellished it with the things that make it not only an internet bourbon pecan pie, but a Linda bourbon pecan pie. So what are things that you must eat and must not eat? Celeste shared with me a website about foods that you might want to eat, and it's from The Root, and it was somewhat tongue-in-cheek, I think, but I think nevertheless realistic in terms of, I think, 17 dishes you bet not bring to a Black Thanksgiving. And the number one thing you should not bring is green bean casserole. And the author says that among the several posts, this abomination was at the top. The only acceptable form of green beans is with smoked turkey necks and potatoes. And they ask, why is it a trend to make this a casserole? So do you have a green bean casserole that you must have at your gathering? And what is it? But the author of this article reminds us, you must not bring this to a Black Thanksgiving. They continue. Mashed potatoes. Now, I'm not sure about mashed potato. They argue that mashed potatoes is debatable. But they write that in their household, they have other things to hold the gravy, like rice or dressing, and of course the turkey. So if you think of mashed potato as something to hold the turkey, and you have other things to hold the gravy, excuse me, not hold the turkey, hold the gravy, then it might not be something you might want to include on your Thanksgiving list. And then the thing that I think is so important, and I've certainly seen enough memes and videos making jokes of this phenomenon. One thing you must not bring to a Black Thanksgiving, when they ask, you know, everyone bring a plate. Don't bring potato salad with raisins. What is this? What is this? They write instead, keep anything you got with raisin in it. I mean, no. Keep your potato salad, your pasta salad, your macaroni salad. It's criminal to put raisins and those type of things, but you know, you may enjoy it, but not at Black Thanksgiving dinners. But those are, you know, just some thoughts. So what are your thoughts in terms of Thanksgiving, things that you must have and that you must not have? We're also, and John shared very wisely and thoughtfully, his thoughts and reflection on Rosalynn Carter. This holiday season, when we celebrate and remember things that we are grateful for, I'm grateful, and John reminded us a little bit in terms of the legacy of Rosalynn Carter, how she, when she became, when the First Lady of the United States, changed the trajectory of the role of First Lady by being an activist for social change and an advocate. And remember, in the 1970s, when women continued, for the most part, to be seen in their nice skirts and not heard, Rosalynn Carter stood up and was an advocate for issues that she thought was important. And in fact, the reporters had a name for her, Steel Magnolia. You know, she had that southern charm, but also a steadiness and an ability to remain strong to her principles. So whether it was advocating for the Equal Rights Amendment or advocating for those who need housing or advocating for mental health advocacy, those are things on which Mrs. And I almost said it, Carter, by using Mrs. No, Rosalynn Carter did and do. Give us your thoughts. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Whether it's about how you manage potential family conflicts at Thanksgiving dinner, whether it's on what food to eat or not eat at Thanksgiving, or whether it's not, you have some thoughts on the legacy, the life and legacy of Rosalynn Carter, or some other things. Let's hear. 503-231-8187. And let's hear from Harry. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Talking about Thanksgiving, Cecil, there's two types of cranberry sauce. There's regular cranberry sauce, and there's gel cranberry sauce. What is your favorite?
Well, I think you revealed something about yourself by saying regular cranberry sauce and saying gel cranberry sauce. I grew up in a family where we had that gel cranberry sauce, and you knew it was cranberry sauce because, you know, the ridges on it as it came out of the can. But it was only later that I had the real thing. What are your thoughts, Harry?
Well, mine is I like my gel. That's what I grew up on. The regular cranberry sauce that comes in a can, sometimes they have stems or sometimes a little hard, so I prefer the gel.
Mm-hmm.
But and also on Thanksgiving, I have a friend which I'm going to Thanksgiving house to their house, and for the last 3 or 4 years, he stopped making turkey. Instead, he makes lasagna.
Mm-hmm.
So he was so tired of all the leftovers, trying to give away leftovers for people who come over, and he had leftovers for weeks, you know.
Uh-huh.
And some people like him, they'll take the bones and make a turkey rice soup, you know,
yes,
or something like that. What am I going to bring over? Well, the only thing I'll bring over that's turkey is, have you ever had wild turkey bourbon? I'm going to bring a bottle of that over. That's the turkey will be there.
You know, you said wild turkey, and then I was on the wild turkey, and then I just caught it. Yeah, the wild turkey bourbon. Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, so that's another thing. But I also saw on the internet a recipe for turkey meatloaf. So I don't know how that would taste, or would it be any good? Instead of, maybe I might give him a suggestion, instead of lasagna, maybe you can try turkey meatloaf. Mm-hmm. I've never had it before. I don't know what it tastes like. If anybody out there has had it, please call in.
All right. Turkey meatloaf. What is that like? And so Congratulations for your friend who said, I will do things differently, and instead of the turkey, lasagna. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that'll work. And I guess as long as you have your wild turkey bourbon, it'll make it go down very well.
Okay. Thank you very much, and have a nice day.
You too as well. Thank you so much, Harry, for calling. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO-FM. I am Cecil Prescott, and I am your host this morning on the 20th day of November 2023. If you're listening live, it's the 20th day of November. If you're not, it is some other time, some other place. But thank you so much for joining and hearing KBOO-FM, your community radio station. We're talking about several things this week. As we prepare for holidays, and there's so much going on that's amazing. And how are you preparing for the holidays, particularly in terms of, are you in a mood to celebrate? There is so much that is heavy on our souls and on our hearts. There's so much violence and destruction and anger and hunger and poverty and houselessness. And it seems that we do not know what to do. Is it a time to be grateful, or is it, well, how do you handle it? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And also, what are your foods that you must or must not have? Harry just mentioned that he visits a friend who decided that they would eliminate the turkey and instead went with lasagna. And Harry asked, what is it? What about a turkey lasagna? What is that like? Now, I don't know what you use, what type of turkey you would use, shredded turkey or ground turkey. What is that all about? So what are your thoughts on that? And also, we mentioned on the legacy and life of Rosalynn Carter, and what is the role of public officials, especially after they are no longer in that position? And I think what they did, Rosalynn and her husband did, was model a type of post-presidential life that made me think that there is life after so-called fame, and what that means is a life dedicated to lifting up humanity. Let's see what our friend Santiago has to say this morning. Good morning.
Actually, throw Selwyn on there, too.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, sorry. I didn't catch that. My bad.
That's okay.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really easy to be overwhelmed by everything that's going on right now. But I think we should be thankful, because as long as we have breath in our bodies, there's always 24 more hours to do the right thing. And I think...
Wow.
You know... And I think the other thing is, too, is recognizing that, you know, we can get overwhelmed by the size and the scope of everything.
Yes.
But being okay with the fact that, like, our understanding that our general sphere of influence is very small, but even though it's small, we shouldn't be afraid to take hold of the little things that we do. I think we get I mean, not that we shouldn't save the world, because obviously that would be a good thing, but I think we should be focused on just, like, you know, like, whatever we can do that's within our grasp.
Yes.
You know, we may not be able to save the world. Who knows?
But we can do that.
I have no idea if any... Huh?
No, I like this, what you're saying in terms of... recognizing our role of influence and whether or not we're able to save the world. We can do that on Saturday, but for right now, we'll save the world on Saturday, but for right now, I'm hearing, concentrate on your role, your influence. Is that correct?
Well, you know, just realize that it's like the, you know, there are many pillars that hold up the, the system that we live under, and, you know, every little thing that we do to support each other, support our neighbors, is a way of weakening those pillars.
Yes.
And, you know, and I think realizing, too, that, you know, the one thing that we should be working on is regaining our vocabulary of class warfare. Because of the fact, so the politicians will tell you that, you know, don't be a philosopher, be a, you know, be a welder. But the thing is what keeps us under their foot is philosophy.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, when we even start talking about the ideas of supporting one another in a way that, you know, that upends the idea of division of resources.
Santiago got.
Yeah. So what I was saying though is that when we do anything that upends the paradigm of how resources are distributed in a capitalist fashion, they will come down on you. And that's because we're changing our philosophy.
Right.
So recognizing that even, like, changing your philosophy is going to make a huge difference in how you approach things. So I'd say just focus on your sphere of influence and work on improving, you know, how you understand the world. If you don't have the vocabulary for what they're doing to you, it's hard to fix what they're doing to you. But at the same time, as a great comrade once said, you know, be kind to people, but be ruthless with establishments.
Wow.
You know, and that's how we should be. That's how we should be moving through the world. You know, like, it doesn't. I mean, if you have the ability, and recognize that that's not a, it's not a one and done rule. You know, obviously, if you have people who are forcefully upholding establishments that harm people, then obviously you've got to be willing to take a little bit of a...
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay.
Okay, Santiago. It sounds as if you're busy, but I appreciate what your thoughts are and for sharing and for also reminding us what something you said at the beginning. You know, each day of... Two things. One, in terms of not being overwhelmed, but focus on your sphere of influence, what things you can do, and like each day you have 24 more hours to do the right thing. Great. Let's go to Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I agree with Santiago's perspective. We need to become subjects and be excited about our possibilities, excited about the areas like philosophy, economics, political science. I uploaded a great article on indiebay.org.
Mark, could I just ask you, turn down your radio? We're getting some feedback from your radio in the background.
Okay. I uploaded a great article titled "The 4-Day Week as a Transformation Project,"
yeah.
And this is was published in German. I translated it from the Luxembourg magazine,
oh.
And the authors are so excited about the idea of a 4-day week as a way of empowering the left. And giving a new joy in life to workers, you know, reduced working hours would actually improve long-term health and would give us a time sovereignty, an ability to become poets or writers, editors, translators. It's very exciting to me. they see that our time as a turning point mm-hmm. with the pandemic, with the wars. So I recommend that you read it.
So tell us how we can get to it. You said you actually translated it from the German. Is it available in English? Is your translation available?
Well, it's available on indiebay.org and la.indiemedia. I also put it on Mastodon and Twitter. I recommend Mastodon. It seems like an improvement over Twitter because they give you more space.
Hmm.
I also wanted to recommend that people reconsider the Sabbath as the crown of creation, that man isn't really what wasn't intended as the crown of creation. It was really the Sabbath and the wonder of resting. And of course, God needed to do this, and we desperately need to do this, and not to make work into a religion.
Wow.
That's my perspective, and I'm of course I'm always saddened by the way discussion and dialogue are narrowed, so that the media often emphasizes only business-friendly news, and the whole all areas of life outside of work are underexposed, you know?
Right.
That's why CABU is so valuable, because it allows the community to interject, to offer alternatives, so that we're all not just focused on the Amazon assembly line or being Uber drivers.
Mm-hmm.
There must be more to life than that.
Right. What you're saying is so helpful, and also as you build upon what the previous caller Santiago said, and it reminds me, you know, we do what we can do, and we emphasize the good, and it reminds me what you said is this quote from I think Victor Hugo, who says, "When you have accomplished your daily task, go to sleep in peace. God is awake." You know, when you accomplish your task, or as Santiago said, you know, we have things to do, but be satisfied.
And if everything you do is to maintain yourself at work, then you have missed a quality life.
Okay. Wow. So we certainly will look for that that article on a 4-day week, and tell us
that's at indiebay.org.
Indiebay.org, okay. And the author, or what name should we look?
Well, you just have to look for the 4-day week as a transformation project. And then it should come up. It should come right up on their newswire.
Okay. Well, we'll search for that. And
thank you. Thank you very much. And have a joyful Thanksgiving.
You as well. What are you going to eat? Or what are you not going to eat?
I just read part of Kierkegaard, and he emphasizes being contemporary with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm enamored with that perspective. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The okay. Spiritual dimension is a dimension.
Yeah. We lost that, but sorry so much. But thank you for your call and for reminding us how we should treat one another and how we should act. Our numbers here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM, is 503-231-8187. I'm Cecil Prescott, and this is More Talk Radio, your Monday morning talk show here on your community radio station. Our numbers again, 503-231-8187. We've touched upon several things this day, somewhat around this theme of this season, And this is about who are we, more importantly, reflecting on things we can and cannot do. And there's so much that overwhelms us that it may not be a time of joy, but also a time of heaviness, of sadness, of grief even. And I think we need to recognize it. So how do you deal with that? How do you hold these tensions in your lives? We mentioned earlier also Rosalind Carter and her role and influence, and how she was a model of an activist, as someone who was also not afraid to speak and do what is right. And how she modeled a life of service. I think that's very appropriate this time. And especially in terms of modeling a life of service after people might have felt there's nothing more you can do. Like, what do you do like after you lose the White House? Do you go and go on a rant like a former president and threaten the very foundation of democracy? And or do you continue a life of service outside of the glare of lights and camera? Continue to work for peace in communities both near and far. Continue to build homes in both communities, near and far. Continue to advocate for women, both here and far. And continue to advocate for good mental health treatment and care, both here and far. Some things to think about this season in which we are told to give thanks. Our numbers here on your community radio station is 503-231-8187. We have a few minutes left, and I want to give you some time to share your thoughts and reflections. And, you know, somewhat jokingly, is what foods do you eat or not eat? And what do you enjoy making, and what do people say about your dish? You know, that dish that you must bring. Earlier, a caller reminded us of her bourbon pecan pie and how that is so delicious. There are other things that people can have, and there's that long debate of, caller mentioned, in terms of cranberry sauce. He mentioned the regular or the gelled, and then he also said that some of the can is sort of like with the regular. So what do you eat? What did you grow up in? What type of? And then bread. Do you have cornbread, or what type of rolls? Or do you have rolls? Those are, you know, things that can be, well, if not things that can create warfare, certainly can create times of heated discussions. And more importantly, how do you maintain peace in your around the table at this time when there is so much that tears people apart and keep people from celebrating together? Very difficult time for many people. Well, let's hear what another caller has to say. And Lama?
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you have to share today?
First of all, this is my first time ever calling into a radio, so kudos.
Wow, all right.
So just one area I wanted to comment on, I think I heard you say something like, how do you handle conversations around the dinner table?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving day and stuff like that, when you have like family members that maybe you have conflicting ideas and stuff like that. So I think 2 days ago I was having a conversation with someone, and I said, like, I think that if you're blessed to know more than some other person and you want to bring them up to speed with what you know and so on, it would be a good idea to be humble as you're trying to communicate those ideas to them and not be condescending. And, like, maybe I heard a previous caller talk about he was reading Kierkegaard or something, and the people you are talking to may not be as exposed to the kind of information you have, and therefore, when you're talking to them, what might seem common sense to you may not be common sense to another person. So if you know more than others, the burden is on you to try to communicate it with humility and with a view not to humiliate another person, but to teach and leave the rest to them. If they accept it, fine. If not, try to be as cordial as possible. Don't be too judgmental and don't be too condescending.
Wow.
That's the only comment that I had to add to the show. Thank you for the program.
Thank you so much for calling and for sharing your wisdom, and I hope you call again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's so great. I appreciate it so much. Let's just sit with that for a second in terms of heated conversations that you might have or conflicts you might have. And what Lama said was that we need, you know, to approach things first recognizing the other as the other person, as the subject, and to be humble. I know I am right, you know? But how do you share that communication with others? They reminded us to, you don't want to humiliate someone, but you, if you want to teach or to share information, do so with a spirit of humility, that you have something to give and also perhaps something also to receive. It is so important to how we approach it, how we have conversations so that people are able to hear and listen. I think people, all people, want to be heard. And one of the challenges is that when everyone is speaking, it's very difficult to hear. And also, when you're not speaking, often we are thinking about what we want to say, and we are not listening to what the other person is saying. So here's something you might do, is to, when you're in conversation with that other person, calm yourself down. And say, I'm here present with that other person. Then to listen. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to something you might agree with, something you might understand, something you might want some clarification with. So listen to what that other person is saying. Not only listen with your ears, but listen with your heart. What they're communicating, if you're speaking verbally, what they're communicating with their words, but how they are saying. Listen. Secondly, I think it's important to affirm the other person. So often conversations is so much that we don't recognize. And so much political conversations in this nation is denigrating, demonizing the other person. I think we need, in conversations, we need to affirm those things that we can hold in common. And then maybe to respond. If that person asks a question, respond with the answer they want. Not responding with what you have wanted to say, and you've been just waiting for them to pause, but respond. And then you can go on from there. Perhaps to add information. But in all things, Let us gather with friends and families and those we don't consider friends and family, and do so with an attitude that our last caller said, with a humble heart, seeking to lift up the others and to create a world in which all are together. Finally, bring something that's good to eat and eat something that's good and share with one another. Thank you so much for listening to More Talk Radio this week. Join us next week when Celeste and I will be here to share some more information with you. Have a good week and stay tuned to More Talk Radio. Stay tuned to KBOO and the programming on this station. Thank you for your support, and we will see you next time.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
This month, besides being the season of Thanksgiving, here at KBOO we celebrate Native American heritage. Tune in throughout the rest of the month for special programming hosted and produced by Native American creators, as well as programming highlighting Native American, First Nation, Indigenous, and Aboriginal cultures here on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland.
Sound was used for centuries as a method of torture. Place someone's head inside of a bell and ring it.
Tune in to KBOO.